Green Gulch Zen Center, September 27th,
also certain deities, certain mandala, certain deities, they are very much emphasis or very much devotion, great devotion to the Lord Shiva. So much emphasis on Mahashiva, sometimes they forget Lord Buddha. I think it is wrong. Lord Buddha is the name of father, father. Mahashiva is something, his lieutenant. So sometimes we so much emphasis on his lieutenant that we forget Lord Buddha. So in any case, I am very, very happy. Now, while we are talking at lunchtime, when he explains about your practice and certain things, sometimes it goes different, dispersed. not yet. So to never go to
before you are fully developed.
No, never go to
before you are fully developed.
No. Never.
Power.
Oh, Milia, Russia, never go to
until you develop the power to help others.
The first is don't harm others. Then second stage, go to others, help others. So you see, in both cases, the basic teaching is coming. So now that this is the compassion or love, kindness. Now this thought or this teaching says,
There's no doubt that this is important for people to practice religion, because even those who lead a worldly life, for them also it's extremely important.
In your worldly life, on the one side, even in the materials and society, it brings the compassion, the love, it's the basis of happiness. So, whether you believe next life or not, whether you believe Buddha or not, whether you believe Bodhisattva or not, they basically, the love and kindness is something very beneficial in even in worldly life also. This one, this one. And also the regarding love and kindness, these things common, all different religions. Christianity and Christian practice. Judaism or Hindu, many Hindus. I think that love, compassion, something. All believers should be basically. And even the non-believer, irreligious person, that value is very clear. So now they in Buddhism that value is specially trained. There are many explanations how to train, how to utilize what sort of method or technique to develop that compassion. So, from that viewpoint, the Buddhism is something very useful in these days, particularly when the war, danger of some wars or something, unrest, violence, terrorism, all these sort of, you see, the human suffering, human problems occur. And such circumstances, the compassion, the force of compassion, force of love, force of kindness, it's something very essential. A politician, a businessman, or a economist, or a scientist, or an engineer, wherever, any activity which is related to human society, human kindness, compassion, very essential. If politician, businessman, economist work, carry his own professional work with good motivation, compassion, love, I think his professional work becomes real instrument for humanity. If these people practice love, utilize his protection as king in their motive, just a selfish motive, or hated motive with hatred or anger, then these professional kings were professional warriors, and his profession becomes the wrong side. Instead of getting or bring benefit for humankind, sometimes through such knowledge bring more disaster on humankind. So the compassion thought is something very special. So here we all depends here, practice. Now I'm going to say something about Tibetan Buddhism in general.
There are many forms, but in brief. I'm going to explain by way of the three trains.
The Lawson chain is any. Trimu lava, Dingani lava, Chiru lava, Lawson chain.
It's the training of pepper, the training of meditative stabilization, and the training of wisdom.
Theravadana chain, Theravadana, or is that Trimu wala? Theravadana is from name, Trimu wala chain. Rangdui mare, chisane, shiana neva, shiru chayava, dauda, chirin shi chayava, re. Chansa dukabla, rangdui yiji dambe, chirin dao chayava, re.
The training ethics is set forth in the Theravada scriptures, this being the avoidance of harming others. In the Bodhisattva scriptures, the training ethics is
is to
restrain selfishness.
Not to do Gulia. Tanena Sintama.
And then in the Tantra system, the practice of ethics is centered around restraining ordinary appearance and conception. Although the verbal designations are different from those that occurred during my conversation earlier with your abbot, the meaning I think here is basically the same.
Now the thing is important.
Now, with respect to meditative stabilization, samadhi. In the scriptures of the hearer, the process of achieving meditative stabilization is set forth, and even though in the Bodhisattva scriptures a great many and various meditative stabilizations are presented, the mode of achieving it is the same. But in the Tantric system, the mode of achieving meditative stabilization is more profound. Now, just to say a little briefly about how meditative stabilization is achieved.
As we were saying earlier today, probably the Tibetan word for concentration is the same as the meaning of Zazen. Now, when we meditate, first of all, there is the object of observation, which can be either actual or imagined. And in some cases, the mind itself is taken as the object of observation. And this practice is more profound. Now, in terms of our posture, we'll sit either in the full cross-legged position or the half position, and then put the hands with the left hand below the right. With the two thumbs touching. Right in a triangle manner, making a
triangle.
About four finger widths below the neck. And the cushion is the same, in other words, under the rear pile. And this makes a difference for one's not becoming tired no matter how much one cultivates meditative stabilization. And it says to straighten the backbone like an arrow. And to bend the neck just a little down. And let your eyes fall down over the nose in front. And attach the tongue to the roof of the mouth. And leave your lips and teeth as usual. And leave your arms a little loose, not stuck up against the body. And if your mind is coursing through desire or hatred, it's necessary first to get to engage in a technique to loosen from
it.
And that's why the concentration on the inhalation and the exhalation of breath is set forth. A counting of
21.
And since it is the fact that the mind cannot engage in two modes of apprehension simultaneously, this will cause the mind to drop the conceptuality. And then it's necessary to cause the mind to turn the mind into a virtuous motivation.
Mainly compassion.
An altruistic mind. making clear a mind of helping others.
That's a minute, isn't it? That's them. Similarly, I think Gundu and Nero, that turned out in Nero, me shake. And that day, Tomang is sent with Gundu and Nero. Big deal.
Now, I think our conventional mode of being and an ultimate mode of being are set forth. Mode of being of the mind are set forth. Here one is concentrating on the conventional mode of being of the mind. One should not let the mind think about it, anything coming in the future. One should not chase after things that have appeared in the past, but set the mind just brightly without any interference.
And do simple, bad one, do simple, and shiva, casually. Gain canna. To get up with that. Chirpity, two years name, the chirpity number, Gian Charles Stagger. Shivunashi, Melona, Melona, two years, get the canna. Papa Gian Charles Stagger. Quran more than Hindi, Satan, Rhythm, Nongan.
And when you view this way, you understand the mind as being capable of appearing like a reflection, or what you say, or that any object is capable of appearing in it when one meets with those circumstances, that the mind is an entity of mere clarity and illumination. And when you look at it from your own experience, within your own experience, you can see that it can't rest, and it can't stay still for even a moment. Can't stay still for even a moment.
But these shiva and shindi,
if you're able to identify this nature of the mind as being mere illumination of clarity and knowing,
and the gaya
then you can hold on to this experience of it as mere clarity and knowing and stay with it. But then, if in another way you used an external object of observation, one, say, for instance, to use the body of Manjushri, first of all, one views an actual image of Manjushri well and clearly, and then visualizes an image of that body. Now, whatever the object of observation is, whether it be internal, external, whether it be a deity's body or whatever, once one finds or gains that object of observation, one needs to engage in techniques to cause the mind to stay vividly on that arc. Now for a beginner, since the form to concentration is sound, staying in a place such as this is very important. Now with respect to the operative observation, it's necessary to have a factor of stability and a factor of clarity. That which interrupts a stability of the mind is a scattering or a striking. Now, when one's mind becomes scattered or excited, there are cases, there are coarser forms of this in which the objective observation is lost, but there are also subtler forms of it in which the mind even if the object of observation is not lost, a corner of the mind goes on thinking about something else. One needs to identify such scattering and excitement, and with mindfulness, not let it take place. The initial obstacle to the mind's becoming clear is lethargy. Lethargy can serve as a cause of laxity, which makes the object of observation to be on object observation. Serves as an obstacle to the development of clarity. Again, there are two types of laxity. In the coarser type of laxity, one loses even the object of observation, whereas in the subtler type of laxity, although one doesn't lose the object of observation, there is either a lack of clarity with the object or a lack of clarity with the subject, the mind having become too loose. Now, as an antidote to the mind becoming scattered or excited, one needs to de-heighten the mode of apprehension of the mind. But then, if one is, when one has lacked it, it's necessary to heighten the mode of apprehension.
It's
necessary to have a moderate mode of apprehension of the object. It neither being too high due to laxity or excitement, nor too low due to neither too high due to scattering or excitement, nor too low due to laxity, through either diminishing the mode of apprehension or raising it up. Thus, the basis of sustaining or developing meditative stabilization is a mindfulness, which is a familiarity with a known object and an ability to stay on that object without being distracted.
That in it, Tembe, Adore, Tembe meeting scene in there. That there, yeah, Chimu, part of Joe, you will meet Shishin Gamjip, Shishin Charge Gamjip.
Now, that which supports this process is the inspection that's done through the factor of introspection, which watches the mind to see if laxity or excitement has arisen.
Those any.
Now it is said that when one is capable through mindfulness of holding on, of holding the object of observation, and when one has and when one has the concordant circumstances of good merit and so forth, it is possible to achieve meditative stabilization within 6 months. As one develops meditative stabilization, one passes through 9 states. Now, without identifying these in detail, in brief, in the beginning, one must forcibly set the mind on the object of observation. First, with great exertion, one forcibly stays on the object. Then one interruptedly fixes on the object. Then, without interruption, and then spontaneously, without any exertion. If one is able to stay for 4 hours, if one is able to stay for 4 hours vividly and continuously without exertion on the object of observation, then it is said one has achieved meditative stabilization. And then it is necessary to then it is possible to overcome unfavorable conditions of body and mind, of the winds and so forth, and thereby generate physical and mental triumph and bliss. Although this type of meditative stabilization indeed serves as a basis for achieving the higher path, it itself, its entity itself, shared in common with Hindu and non-Buddhist systems. Now, in the non-Buddhist Tirthaka systems, one actualizes this preparation for a concentration called the not unable, and then through the mental contemplation achieves the first concentration, then the second, third, and fourth, then the the four formless absorptions of limitless space, limitless consciousness, nothingness, and the peak of cyclic existence. However, in the Buddhist systems, and especially also in Tantra, it is said that it is sufficient to achieve this not unable mental contemplation or preparation for the first concentration, and it's not necessary to achieve any of the others. Now, this is a brief explanation of how to achieve meditative stabilization.
Now,
what is the purpose for achieving such a meditative stabilization? It is not just for the sake of temporarily suppressing the manifest coarse affliction through viewing a lower level as gross and an upper level as peaceful, as is done in concentration, but rather its purpose is to serve as a basis for achieving the supramundane special insight through which one can completely get rid of the affliction. Now, in order to generate the wisdom realizing the selflessness in one's continuum, it's necessary first to understand what selflessness is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we refer to meditating on faith, it means that one cultivates faith, one causes one's mind to be generated into a faith consciousness. Whereas when one speaks of meditating on selflessness, this means that selflessness is taken as the object of the meditation.
Mm-hmm.